This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Liz Winstead has made a career being the watchdog of the watchdog. As co-creator of The Daily Show back in the 90s, Liz was one of the first comedians to satirize both newsmakers and news media. She has now turned her focus to women's rights, still wielding the sword of humor. Her nonprofit, Lady Parts Justice, has writers and filmmakers looking at reproductive issues. Liz is in North Carolina to perform her comedy show, Bang the Dumb Slowly. She's going to be at the Gray Eagle in Asheville tonight and the Cat's Cradle in Carrboro tomorrow. Liz Winstead joins us now from WCQS in Asheville. Liz, welcome back.
Thanks, Frank.
Good to have you here. Let's talk about, I need to take you back to The Daily Show, if you don't mind, for just a moment.
No.
Because it really gets to, I think, some of your ideas about comedy, too, and what satire is all about. It's a show you co-created and obviously had a lot to do with Jon Stewart, although you began with a guy named Craig Kilborn. What was the theory? What were you thinking about and what was the hope for that show when you created it?
Well, the hope of when I created it was, you know, it was such a very different media landscape at the time. And so the Daily Show that we see now was responding to the media that we have now. But I was watching a different media back in the mid-90s where CNN was the only cable network. Our airwaves were polluted in our evenings with news magazines that were just terrifying Americans. You know, what's your mattress? What you don't know might kill you. You know, these horrifying things. And then the cable news was sort of celebrity crimes, car chases, and then trial of the century of the week. And so there was zero information at all. And then when the first Gulf War happened, it was like the first time that America had watched a war unravel in their own living rooms. And I happened to be on a blind date that night. And I was watching it with this guy who I didn't know. And I realized there was a theme song and there was graphics and there was really good looking people. And I thought to myself, with no sort of intention, just taking in the information, are they reporting on a war or trying to sell me a war? Mm-hmm. And I took a breath on that, and my date goes, "This is so awesome." And I was like, "Oh my God, I think I'm onto something." So,
wait,
from
hey,
that
Liz,
point forward,
but I want to get on to your career, but last date with that guy, I'm guessing?
Yeah, and you know what? Somebody asked me what his name was, and I was like, I don't know. He was the guy I went out with that night. That was his name.
That's good. Well, you know, it's sort of interesting to think about it. I know there was one scholar who talked about this system being so all-encompassing these days that there's no Archimedean point. You remember Archimedes, the guy who famously said, "Give me a lever and a place to stand, and I can move the earth." And the point is, there's no place to stand anymore. There's no place that even media can draw our attention to something that would, because it's all part. You're right. It's selling us something. It's all part of the big sales structure. I mean, do you feel that way about the way things are going these days?
I do, and it's why not to be a suck up, but I mean, it's why public media is so important, because people forget that if your show is on at 9 o'clock at night on your television, even if it's a news show, it's competing for the same ad dollars as, you know, American Idol or another show. And so in order for corporate media to function, they have to be entertaining and they have to be compelling and sometimes telling the truth and getting diving deep into issues isn't conducive with being a corporate media. So yeah, and also we're finding ourselves in this position where we have so much information and we've never been dumber, because people can just sort of amass the media they want that will reiterate their already existing beliefs. People no longer have to be challenged, and that's pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your show, Bang the Dumb Slowly. Have anything to do with some of these ideas?
I bet maybe all of them.
Yeah.
You know, I like to, humor has always been a way I feel like to get people to either think about something in a different way. You know, if you make somebody laugh, you have created a situation where they like you, even if it's momentarily. Yeah. And so they have a tendency to listen to you more. And comedians, they don't have a dog in the fight. You know, if you're a good political satirist, you will call out anybody if they have power, if they're using it stupidly or hypocritically. And so it's all really fun. So I'm going to talk about everything from America's insane conversation about whether or not we take Syrian refugees, to the war on reproductive health and access, to immigration, to Bill Cosby, to Caitlyn Jenner, you name it, it's going to be in the show.
What do you make of this? All of a sudden, you know, the Syrian, we've been taking refugees for a long time, and then there's this these governors who sort of almost on cue say, we're not taking these refugees. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, it was sort of like Ebola. When Ebola happened, the same people with the same hysteria were like, we have to close the borders down. We can't take people in. Everybody's going to get Ebola. And then there's no more Ebola. I mean, since 9/11, we've taken in 750,000 refugees, and we have not had a convicted terrorist case. And so I feel like, I don't know what people are thinking, but I know that I eat food out of a cart every day. And I believe I'm putting myself more at risk just by eating meat from a stranger than I have any fear of Syrian refugees coming over here looking for a better life. I'm from Minnesota, which is an incredible state for bringing in refugees. During the Vietnam War, we brought in many Southeast Asians, you know, and there's a big Somali population. There's a big Yemeni population, a big Ethiopian population. And so I've grown up constantly with refugees coming into a space, and especially a space that is 125% different from the one they left, and have had nothing but wonderful engagement with people who are different and from different cultures. So I think it's a really sad state that we're in, that people are actually terrified of people who need our help.
Well, if you wonder how we get here, you talked about humor being that opening, that thing that allows people to open their minds and be more receptive to you. Fear is the thing that shuts us down, I think, in a lot of ways. And that is the drum that has been beaten with great political success for a long time, but certainly post 9/11. I mean, you can see how that just made us not think anymore. And we got into some pretty serious trouble with the Iraq War by not thinking and just being afraid. But I'm wondering, sort of, it's not that we shoot ourselves in the foot. It's how often we reload. It's striking, isn't it? I mean,
well, and that we reload without any, excuse me, we reload without any introspection. And then while we're reloading, we look up and we go, Donald Trump seems smart. And I don't know how that happened, but, you know, he's replaced bedbugs as America's number one pest. And now we're trying to figure out how we're going to ask him to gracefully exit so a credible person can step up and actually maybe be the leader of the Republican Party.
We asked
it's
Donald
really
Trump
scary.
To join us on the show, but he declined. No, we didn't.
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah, well, so, but
I believe you didn't ask Donald Trump because he would never decline.
That's true. That's true. We should do that. So let's get back to The Daily Show for a minute, because, again, we've talked about this Archimedean point. Everything is all sort of commercial, and certainly The Daily Show, the comedy channel, right? I mean, it's about selling stuff. Again, it became a source of news, particularly for young people. Did that surprise you?
You know what surprised me was, I mean, I knew that the show would be a really great place for people to download, have a catharsis, have a laugh, you know, look at the day's news through the lens of the absurdity that it is. The one thing I didn't count on was, you know, so much of the success of a show like The Daily Show depends on the dereliction of what it is satirizing. And so The Daily Show became very successful because our television media has become so derelict in its duties. And what I found hilarious to watch was when cable news sort of sat up and said, why is The Daily Show becoming so successful? They didn't say, maybe we should really look into doing more reporting and more investigative work. What they said was, maybe we need funnier graphics. I was like, no, that's not the message.
It's the one they drew. It's a cheaper message of the two. So tell us about this new nonprofit organization now, Lady Parts Justice. What's that project
Lady
all about?
Lady Parts Justice. Well, I sort of wanted to take everything that I'd been doing in my career so far, which is satirizing the news, videos, and one thing that had always been missing, you know, I am out front that I lean left politically, and so that's sort of my lens of where I come from as a performer. And so one of the things I'm passionate about is reproductive rights and justice, and using the humor lens that has been so effective in raising awareness, I wasn't allowed in my other work to do a call to action. You know, I was on a network where I could point out what I felt was hypocrisy, but that was where I got to go with it. And so I wanted to be able to say, I think that these things are wrong. I think that they're not good. And here's what I think you could do about it. So we make funny videos that expose a lot of people who are either in the media, anti-choice activists, or politicians who really aren't, don't seem to be on the ball so much about science or about anything to do with reproductive rights and justice. So we have Sarah Silverman. We have a whole bunch of people who have a very fun website. It's an interactive map of all 50 states. You can click on a state, see a video about the law, one of the laws in your state, and then you can see all the facts about what's happening, and we update it constantly. So it's a fun hub to get your information about what's happening around the country. And then we travel, sort of like a traveling USO show to go provide fun aid and comfort to clinics who are under siege around the country.
Well, North Carolina is a state. And in fact, you could find a video a video about us, and we have a clip from that video right here.
It's like a North Carolina thing. You seriously never heard of hashtag motorcycle vagina?
No, that's weird. Motorcycles and vaginas are two of my favorite things.
Okay. It's kind of a big deal. Our creepy Republican legislators secretly snuck a bunch of anti-choice laws into a motorcycle safety bill, and Governor McCrory just, like, signed it. So...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of words.
That's a clip for Lady Parts. That's the guy that you dated, I think.
It might be. But, you know, it was in that video, we were just trying to remind people, and men especially, that, you know, if they're part of this... the dating circuit, they might want to be paying more attention to these issues. We actually created something really fun that's an app that is very much, it's like Tinder. It's satirizing Tinder, but it's called Hinder. And if you download it, you can swipe through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, it's all fact-based, of politicians who are either anti-choice, anti-equal pay laws, anti-violence against women act, anything that seems... rationally you would be for if they have been against it in some way. You can find out who they are, share it on Facebook and Twitter. It's a lot of fun.
Let me ask you, though, about this sort of crossing the line, as it were, going from pointing out the absurdity and hypocrisy to call to action. I mean, earlier you said, you know, we're seeking our media these days to just confirm our prejudices, and there's, you know, sort of a lot of chatter but no real deep thought. Now, in some ways, let me ask you honestly, are you contributing to the polarization by sort of taking a side and pushing a particular agenda? How is it helpful? Let me ask you that.
Well, I think in not doing it on a television show, but doing it in the form of a nonprofit activist space, I am announcing that I have a viewpoint. So I think that part of it is whether or not it's contributing. You can say I'm contributing. I'm saying that I'm bringing facts to mm-hmm. the conversation. So when everything that we do is fact based, and so when I feel like, you know, scientists have said that pregnancy starts at implantation. So I think we should maybe start with some facts about that, for example. Maybe we learn a little bit about life begins at conception. Isn't necessarily pregnancy begins at conception. And so there's like a big chasm there. And if we can educate people about that for starters, they may relook at things in a different way. So I think that when you have an agenda and you're saying it, I'm not sitting behind a news desk and I'm not putting myself in a space where if you saw me, it would be blurring the lines, which is one of the things that I wanted to do. It's like, here's what I'm saying, here's what I'm doing, here's some links and facts to places that are not MSNBC or someplace they're from, I don't know, the National Institute of Health or the AMA. And so I hope that I have facts on my side. I'm pretty sure I do. And I think science is our friend.
Has the fact that you've sort of taken this role and moved into advocacy, has it had any impact on your career, positive or negative? Might it hurt your career?
You know what? It's just shifted my career. And I think that part is really fun. I knew that those that would not like what I do, they didn't like what I did before. So it's not like I'm not targeting the same people. I'm just doing it now in a different way. But I'm still able to use humor. I'm still able to go on the road. Now I'm going on the road with myself or this comedy troupe that is talking about these issues. We're showing videos. We're still making people laugh. We're still making people think. We're bringing them together. And now I'm just doing it in a new forum. I mean, and the bottom line is, as we're transitioning out of television, you know, most young people, like 70% of young people don't even own a TV anymore or have cable, right? And so when the information is coming out of their hands and their phone or in mobile devices or, you know, through Roku and stuff, I want to be in those spaces and you have a lot more freedom in those spaces. So I make no bones about who I am, which is why I like to say it. And then people can research what I say. And that's, I think, what makes it a little bit different.
They're transitioning out of television and into public radio. They're just all
they're just flocking
over here. It's incredible research.
Yeah, you should see the people outside this space. They're just, it's like the Beatles constantly. Frank.
It's all about you, Liz. I do have just one more question. It's a little bit sort of on this, but and tangential in a way, too. Women in comedy. I mean, there is still a dearth of women in comedy, and they're still in a minority. What do you think is happening there?
Well, the good news is it's getting better. I think that until we really realize that women's perspective, women's lives, women's experiences are equally as hilarious as the ones that we have loved celebrating so much from a male perspective, Frank. You guys and your wacky lives have been so interesting. But now, once we start realizing that when women can be as creative, as funny, as amazing, and are actually part of the landscape of humanity, it has been really a wake-up call, I think, to watch movies like Bridesmaids and to see Amy Poehler and Broad City and Sarah Silverman and Tig Notaro and all these, you know, Veep, all these wonderful shows that are created by and driven by women that are comedies. It's pretty hard to say now that a woman's point of view doesn't resonate with both men and women, because that was the big thing for a while. You know, you'd have club owners or you would have network executives say, you know, but are men going to like that? I mean, women have been through that. And I'm like, I had to listen to what men have been through for years. And I did laugh and I thought it was funny. So I think that that should go both ways. And sure enough, it is.
Liz Winstead, what a great pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Liz performs her show, Bang the Dumb Slowly, in North Carolina this week. Going to be at the Gray Eagle in Asheville tonight at 8, Cat's Cradle in Carrboro tomorrow at 8, and you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton, and Andrew Tai. Robin Copley is our technical director, Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.